is found in the book of Hosea chapter 10. And I want to talk to us this evening directly in relationship to revival meeting. I am fully aware that most of the time when evangelists come, the first service that they have, they usually preach along this line as well. But I want to spend a little time tonight looking at the subject of revival. You'll see at the top of your page a quote from Charles Finney. Now, revival was a big thing for him, or at least it has become such as people have read after him and looked at his material and listened to his preaching. It was a big subject, a big topic for him regarding revival. And if you've ever read the particulars that he went through as a basis to see revival or to have revival, you would know that there's little doubt as to why he saw the moving of God that he saw and conviction come the way he experienced it. He was a man of God and knew what it was to have revival. In this particular passage, it talks about what we need to do for ourselves. Chapter 10 of Hosea and the 12th verse reads like this: "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you." Break up your fallow ground. Now, revival can be expected when Christians are willing to make the sacrifices necessary to carry it on. Revival can be expected when Christians are willing to make the sacrifices necessary to carry it on. Now, if you take from that statement what I take from that statement, it seems to me that Christians have a tremendous part or hold in whether or not a church experiences revival. Now, I realize that Charles Finney is not listed in the books of the Bible, but I believe that what he's telling us here in this statement is true. It may not be part of the gospel as such, but I believe that by his experience, he has given us a lot of truth that we as Christians hold within our grasp. Are we willing to make the necessary sacrifices in order to see revival come, to see revival happen, to see God move in revival fires? Another thought that comes to me as we approach revival meeting is the statement or a question perhaps, what are our goals or what are we looking for in revival? Is it just simply to come to church 10 days in a row and hear good preaching, enjoy the fellowship and the services and worshiping God, and then go on about our daily activities once the revival is over with? Or is there some kind of a change or a growth or a certain aspect of spiritual life that we are looking forward to? Hosea here, the writer of this book that we've read from, talks about the fallow ground. And I suppose that probably all of us would have within our mind that we don't have any fallow ground. But we don't know if we have fallow ground or not unless we really begin to search, to see, and to ask God to point out within us whether or not we have fallow ground. You say, what is fallow ground? Fallow ground would be that ground which has once been tilled but has now become waste, or it now lies waste. Fallow ground is ground that has been rained on, snowed on, perhaps walked on till it is crusted. If you remember back some months ago, we looked at the four different aspects of the soil found in the Gospels. We talked about that very aspect at that time, that the ground became walked on and it became crusted, snowed on, rained on, and it became crusted, and seed could not penetrate in order to grow and bear fruit. Now in this passage we notice that Hosea is using the picture of fallow ground in reference to the heart of the Christian, the heart of Israel. We look at it as the heart of the Christian. How could we possibly have fallow ground? And again, we do not know that we have fallow ground, and we will not recognize that we have fallow ground unless or until we begin to look at oneself. Until one person, one individual, begins to look inwardly. Did you ever notice how easy it is to pick out fallow ground in your neighbor, but can't see fallow ground within ourselves? Now, I'm not putting myself in any kind of a pedestal here, but what we need is to look inwardly, myself included. It could very well be that we have some area of our life that has become unfruitful or fallow. And if we are so adamant to say that that's impossible, then my question within myself at least would be, am I approaching and going down the direction of being deceived? Say, how can I know if I have fallow ground? The need for work becomes apparent if the following statement would fit us, fit me individually. I do not know whether I'm gaining ground or going backwards. Does that ring a bell with anybody? I do not know if I'm gaining ground or going backwards, whether I am fruitful or going to waste. You see, if we're at a standstill, we need God to come and break our heart up, the soil of our soul. We do. Now, I'm not suggesting that somebody who is at a standstill is backslidden. There are times when we go through dry times. There are times when in the reading of God's Word, you just don't get as much out of it. But then thank God for the times when you can't get enough. You just read and soak up and you enjoy what you're reading. There's a renewed interest in God's Word. But there's times that it's just not as strong as what it was. Doesn't mean you're backslidden. But it does give an indication that there's a need for God to come and reignite the flame. We notice that in the New Testament church, that there were times that they needed to have a refilling, a reignition. One of the biggest contributors to fallow ground would be that of neglect. Neglect. You say, what could that be? How could that be? What areas could that be? Well, we could find that fallow ground would develop within us when we are neglectful in being grateful or in gratitude. Thankful for what God's done. I so enjoy. So often we hear in testimonies that God has answered prayer. Now we may not hear all the particulars, and that's fine. But to hear that God's answering prayer on a consistent basis here and there and over there and in that person's life, it's an encouragement to hear when God answers prayer in a person's particular needs, whether they're small or big. It really doesn't matter. God's answering prayer. And when He answers prayer, it is a part of us, a responsibility of ours, to go and praise Him. When we fail to praise Him for what He's done, we're developing a callous in our spirit that comes to fallow ground and becoming wasteful or unfruitful. We always should be thankful and grateful for salvation, for the sacrifice that He has given, the price that He paid, the needs that He would meet on a regular basis. Another aspect of neglect that we would find would be very real in contributing to the fallow ground would be the neglect of our love for God. Now I know that we would probably hesitate to admit such a thing. But there are times when the things of this world bear in upon us and the temptation is there to loosen or to lessen and draw us away from that love for God. Now, I'm not going to be the judge to determine where a line is crossed and separation takes place in a relationship with Christ, but there is that possibility that our love for God wanes and it develops in a higher love for things that are around us. One of the biggest contributors to a neglect of our love for God is a neglect in Bible reading and prayer. We are in an age today in the church realm, the larger spectrum of the church realm, across this nation at least, that focuses in on the shortness of the prayers of the Bible. We hear that. Did you see how many words it was that Elijah prayed on Mount Carmel and fire came down? Yeah, it was a pretty short prayer. But what we fail to notice in the midst of that shortness of the prayer was that Elijah had a personal relationship with God, a contact with God that didn't come from short prayers. He wasn't basing his whole spiritual life on little prayers. Jesus is given to us in His example as He walked the earth, He being the God-man, and He went and spent hours in prayer. How many times do we have to tip our chin just a little bit when we think about a comparison of His prayer life and our prayer life? You know, it's really hard to have a whole night of prayer anymore. I'm talking right here. Okay? It's hard to keep our head up and our eyes open in real prayer through the night. Sometimes it's quite difficult to pray for an hour. It might even be difficult to pray for a half an hour to seek God's face. But one thing that we can notice is, and as we read from history and the revivals in the church of history, was that it wasn't until people began to travail in prayer and carry a burden in prayer that things began to happen. And the thing that we would notice in our own personal lives, when we are the most desperate about some situation, that's when we become urgent in prayer or more urgent in prayer. Neglect of Bible reading, the neglect of prayer, which will lead to a wavering of our faith. You see, all of these things combined will bring to us a neglect of the love of God or the love for God. Another aspect of developing fallow ground would be the neglect in maintaining a good attitude. You say, "Preacher, what in the world are you talking about?" Well, we keep a smile on our face even in the midst of troubles. We love somebody even when they don't love us too well in return. Or at least they have a strange way of showing their love. We have to remind ourselves that we didn't love God first, God loved us first. And when we really think about that, God loving us first, that means that He loved us when we were lost in sin, dead in our trespasses and sin. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We weren't doing God any favors. We weren't supplying Him with any kind of honor and praise, but in the midst of all of that, He still loved us and He's asked us to do the same things. Matter of fact, He commands us to do the same thing. When somebody despitefully uses us, we love them in return. Keeping a good attitude. You see, the lack of a good attitude will develop fallow ground. And it's easy when we go flying over through this this flyover view of our soul and over our life, it's easy for us to just skim past that spot. It doesn't look too bad from up here. Some of you that have been in airplanes, you know that the big semis and trains that run on the roads and the railroad tracks, they become pretty small the higher you get. And if you get high enough, you can't even really pick them out. We do a flyby of our own spiritual condition and our own spiritual life. It's easy for us not to notice that fallow ground. Another aspect that would contribute to fallow ground would be the neglect and self-denial. Perhaps this is the one that fights us the most in its particular sense in prosperous America. Self-denial would include that sense of pride, that patting ourselves on the back, that selfishness. And within the confines of that, we would also find that we are doing nothing or a little bit of nothing to bring others into Christ. When we think about bringing others to Christ, are we really willing to subject ourselves to some kind of an inconvenience in order to serve or to save the lost? You know, we have our plans. Our days are worked out for us. You know, we have a whole scheme of things going on all day long, all week long, all month long, and before long, the year's gone. And we look back at the past year and we say, "Wow, I haven't even witnessed to one person this year. I haven't even carried a burden for one person this year. I have not placed myself in the situation of inconvenience for one person, one lost soul this year." Self-denial. Self-denial would also include the performance of our spiritual duties and making them second rate. Placing them on a lower standard or sub-priority. Charles Finney said this as well about self-denial in regards to neglect. He said, "Some give great sums and they do not feel the loss because their offering comes out of their surplus." Now we can branch off from that in the very detailed avenues of our own particular life. Are we giving of ourselves or are we just skimming off the top and not really bringing ourselves to the place where people know, the lost world around us would know, that we're trying to love them to Jesus. Somebody said that to me here not too long ago. So you don't hold me at arm's length. I said, well, the bottom line is I'm trying to love you to this way. Break up our fallow ground. When we break up our fallow ground, sometimes there will be clods left over. In breaking up our fallow ground, we must remove every obstruction. Every obstruction. Let me read the text again. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. We draw that out of the context of the book of Hosea and bring it over to the context of revival meeting here at Wise Ball Community Church. It's time that we seek the Lord until He rain His Spirit and His power upon us in revival. And the only way we will see that accomplished is if we give of ourselves and pay the sacrifices necessary. Revival can be expected when Christians are willing to make the sacrifices necessary to carry it on. The ball, so to speak, is in our hands. God has given His promises. We have to carry out our responsibility. Let's see God come. Let's seek His face. Let's allow Him to search our heart afresh and anew, to stir us, to bring us to that place that we can say, when 2 weeks are over and revival lights have been turned out in this church, that the revival fires will continue to burn. Fallow ground being broken up. Let's stand together tonight.